The last aliyah of Parshas Beshalach is very significant in that it contains the entire Kriyas HaTorah for Purim, as well as an episode that we are required to remember and that we perform that remembrance in conjunction with Purim. But first we have the episode of Matzu Meriva. And the Torah tells us, "Vayitzma sham ha'am l'mayim, vayalon ha'am el Moshe, vayomer l'mazeh halisonu mitzrayim l'hamis l'si v'yes banai v'yes miknai batzama." And here, this seems to be a less warranted complaint than what we read about earlier regarding the need for food and the man. And a part of it is that, as the Naim Torah comments, that it's not that they were collapsing at that point from lack of water. They had water, but they started to realize that they would need water more consistently, and therefore they were complaining in advance. And to that, the response is that they should have more bitachon, and they should recognize how they've been taken care of so far. And this seems to be, in general, the way these psukim over here are implying, that it's not that there was an urgent need for water, but rather this was their anticipation and a display of insufficient emuna on their part, and is connected to what happens afterwards. Pasuk Zayin tells us that the place is now called Masu Meriva because of the Riv. It's pointed out that sometimes people are in a bad situation, a Meriva, and then they complain. That's Masu, but here it was the other way around. This was, again, a reflection of their complaining in anticipation unnecessarily, and their testing Hashem. As the language of the pasuk here is, V'al nasosam, and there's a Shamshon of Farl Hirsch comments that the Jews are supposed to realize that Hashem is above nature, and that Tziv adds that the Jews are supposed to see Hashem in nature too, and it is their failure to do so that contributes to what follows. The nation of Amalek, which represents the nation that is least aware of God's control of the world, that sees the world as leaderless and hefkeris, comes to attack. And that's what this next pasuk tells us. Pasuk Ches, V'yavu Amalek V'yalachim in Yisrael B'refidim. Amalek comes and attacks the Jews in Refidim. This language of Refidim, which was the name of the place, but the emphasis here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adafka Vavam Aleph, tells us, Rafu Yadehim in HaTorah. They were lax in the Torah, and that left them vulnerable. The Arachayim comments that Torah is compared both to water and to war, Milchamta Shel Torah. So because they were lacking in this, they ended up, Mida Keneged Mida, being hit in both ways, in the need for water and in the war. And there are those who strive to explain that the idea that them being lax in the study of Torah is perhaps understandable given that the Torah was not given yet. Rashi understands that this is a reference to the Miktsas Mitzvos that they were given at Mara, Shabbos, and the Paraduma, and those mitzvos. The Ramban has a comment that the idea of Sham Samlo Chok Mishpat is a reference to Hanhagos of Derech Eretz, and they were presumably then lack in studying that. Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman in the Sefer Shari Ora notes that the idea that they can be accused of Bittul Torah is a point that was already relevant in Mara before they were given the Torah, so the idea of them going 3 days without Torah and all of the consequences of that. So therefore he has a drasha in which he explains that the issue was really a delay in receiving the Torah, and their main merit to receive the Torah, are told that all the other nations were offered the Torah as well, but were not given as much of an opportunity as the Jews were. And that reflects the fact that the Jews were able to appreciate and to anticipate the Torah with enthusiasm. So apparently here they were starting to lag in that, and that's what we're referring to here. In the Sefer Esh Tamid of Rav Druk, he notes the Pasuk Nidcheskel and Parachaf and Pasuk Gimel seems to make this relationship clear, because the language there is Nisu Osi Be'egel Uvrifidim Milakabalas HaTorah. They delayed the receiving of the Torah. So here, responding to the attack of Amalek, Moshe tells Yehoshua to conduct the war, and Moshe ascends and he lifts up his hands, and the pasuk says, "V'haya kasher yarim Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael v'chasher yaniach yado v'gavar Amalek." So the hands of Moshe being raised had an impact on their ability to prevail in the war. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah comments on this using the expression in English "make or break." That the Mishnah asks, "V'chiyadav shel Moshe osos mochama shovros mochama?" Should we actually assume that the war was defined based on whether Moshe's hands were up and down? Rather, the understanding is that when the Jews were were aware of God and focused on his presence, so then they were able to prevail. And when not, that was when Amalek was able to prevail. The pasuk tells us that Aaron and Hur held up his hand. So here Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Tainis that in times of problems, so they need three to go in front of the Teva. This is something that we find in Kol Nidre as well. And Rav Soloveitchik explained this is a way of representing the whole people, and the way that Moshe is able to represent that the request for deliverance comes from the entire people. The Ish Tamid also comments that here Moshe and Aaron and Hur together represent the three Amudim of the world, Moshe representing Torah, and Aaron representing Avodah, and Hur representing Chesed. And we find the language here, Vayhi Yadav Emunah Arbo HaShamesh, this idea of his hands being Emunah. Rav David Miller mentioned in a sicha that we note that the Talmud tells us that in Yom HaDin we'll be asked if we conducted business honestly, nasasa v'nasasa b'yamuna. That seems to be the meaning of the phrase. He suggested that it goes more than that. Certainly it's expected that we will conduct business honestly. The question is it more than that? That here we find the usage of the word amuna, which seems to tell us how it should be understood. It's not only that they had faith, but his hands were used as a symbol of Amunah, to help the Jews remember and to recognize God's presence. And therefore, the question, Asasav and Asasav B'Amunah, is not only did you deal with business honestly, but did you deal in such a way that you were a symbol of Amunah, that you were able to display your faith and your recognition of God's running the world and conduct your business affairs with such an understanding. So here God declares his eternal war against Amalek, and we're told, Ksov Zos Zikaron B'Sefer, this should be written down as a remembrance in the Sefer. There are some who understand that the assumption that the mitzvah of remembering Amalek requires us to do so from a Sefer Torah. There's a lengthy discussion to be had how all of the different components of how we perform this mitzvah annually, how that can be explained based on the details of the mitzvah and HaTorah. So there are those who suggest that the idea that we insist on using a Sefer Torah could perhaps be traced to this language of Ksov Zos Zikaron B'Sefer, which also leads to the question of, does it have to be a fully kosher Sefer Torah? Do all the requirements of Sefer Torah apply? That's a discussion in Poskim of itself, and there are those who understand that it's connected to this pasuk. So we find that God declares that he will fight Amalek for generations, and the language that closes the parsha is midor dor, from generation to the next. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out that the Rambam, when he discusses the idea of Amalek and the seven nations, and the idea that Sancheirav has made it so that we cannot identify different national identities anymore. So when it comes to Amalek, he did not use the language of Kfar Avad Zichram, that they have been completely lost. And the suggestion is that Amalek is not tied down to a genealogical identity, but represents a certain quality that can exist in future generations as well. And it's important to appreciate what that means. That doesn't mean that we have any license to wage war on individuals today because of that understanding, but it reflects the fact that there is an attribute that is contained within the character of Amalek, that we have to remember what that attack represents. And there are different points of focus. Futner commented that the Medrash and the language of it suggests that Amalek had the attribute of a clown, of a letz, but we understand that the real meaning of Leitzanus is not joking around, but rather it's cynicism and being impervious to any kind of mussar, to any kind of correction, and to any kind of divine influence. And essentially, they represent an attack on God and God's morality and all of the rules that are meant to restrain behavior in society. And we find as well, the way the Pesukim present it in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, that the attack was an attack on the weak, Kalanecha Shalom Acharecha. So the idea seems to be that this is behavior of a terroristic nature that does not follow the rules of war, that does not behave in any kind of a disciplined nature, regulated by any kind of principles of decency or morality. And we are told that this is a quality that needs to be challenged throughout all of the generations, and that the Jews need to represent God's morality and to understand the need for this battle for generations.